You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. Senate voted today to terminate President Trump's national emergency declaration. The president announced the move last month, trying to get more funding for his border wall, promised in the presidential campaign. When he did, he also touched off a debate about the separation of powers and presidential overreach. Ultimately, 12 senators from his own party voted to overturn that declaration, setting up a likely veto. The emergency declaration also continues to face a number of legal challenges. Yesterday, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin will be joining one of those efforts. John Blakeman is the professor and department chair of the UW-Stevens Point Department of Political Science. John, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've had the U.S. House vote against the emergency declaration, and now just earlier this afternoon, the U.S. Senate with 12 Republicans joining Democrats. What do you make of the outcome of that vote today?
Well, certainly, in one sense, Congress has spoken with pretty clear majorities in both houses to disapprove President Trump's declaration of emergency. Neither house has enough votes, it looks like, to override a presidential veto, which is pretty much an assured thing at this point.
Right. The president tweeted a one-word tweet after that, veto, all caps,
yes.
And he followed it up with a little more explanation. Can you talk about what led some Republicans, maybe reluctantly, I don't know, to oppose their president on this issue?
Well, going into this morning, there were about five Republicans who had publicly declared their support for the resolution. And, you know, they're conservative constitutionalists in a sense that they do not want to give more power and authority to the executive branch, regardless of who's in the Oval Office. Between last night and the vote early this afternoon, there was a lot of political wrangling, it sounds like. But, you know, some of the usual political motivations for to vote against the president, like a senator might be up for re-election in 2020 or might fear the president's retaliation, those don't necessarily seem to have panned out. And only Susan Collins from Maine, she's the only Republican up for re-election who voted against Trump, and Tom Tillis and Cory Gardner from Colorado, who were sort of sitting on the fence, looks like they decided at the last minute to declare their support for the national emergency declaration.
And it's kind of a tangled issue. There's the philosophical constitutional argument about the separation of powers here, and President Trump wanted to focus on the immigration issue and border security in particular. Is that did the Republicans who voted with the president side with that border security side of things?
Well, yeah, the Republicans who sided with the president clearly view this in terms of border security, no questions asked. I think the Republicans who voted against Trump probably do perceive the conflict definitely in terms of the separation of powers. You know, the 47 Democrats probably see the separation of powers issue, but it's also for them a major vote against the Trump administration.
President Trump, this is before the vote now. He took a question today about his criticism of Republicans who were going to vote against his declaration. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
I think it's bad for a Republican senator. I also think it's bad for a Democrat senator to vote against border security and to vote against the wall. I think if they vote that way, it's a very bad thing for them long into the future.
Let's talk about the political consequences then of voting against the president on this one. President Trump definitely made border security and the border wall a big issue in the 2018 midterm elections. Democrats did pretty well in the House. Is this something that is going to sway someone's future here?
Well, I think probably so. President Trump has shown that he is very good at rallying the Republican base. And that might explain why Senator Tillis and Senator Gardner sided with Trump at the very end. You know, for Susan Collins from Maine, her support in Maine is pretty secure, and it's unlikely that Trump could affect that too much. But yeah, I think President Trump's message was probably received by some Republican senators who were sitting on the fence, and they did not want to run the risk of getting primaried the next time they were up for re-election, which may be 2 years away or even 4 years away. So yeah, for sure.
We are talking about the president's emergency declaration. A vote earlier today in the Senate voted against that declaration. That's probably going to be vetoed now by the president. John Blakeman is with us, professor and department chair of the UW-Stevens Point Department of Political Science. Closer to home here, John, we have Governor Evers and Attorney General Call joining this multi-state lawsuit against the emergency declaration. There are other attorneys general around the country who have sided with it. Do you think that, assuming the president vetoes this so it stays in effect, do you think these legal challenges will be real trouble for this declaration?
Well, yeah, potentially so. I mean, you have to have litigation like this as the mechanism to get this kind of separation of powers dispute up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the attorneys general involved in this lawsuit, about 20 of them now, are basically doing what attorneys general have been doing for the past three decades, and that's using litigation to contest federal policy that they disagree with. But if you look at all of the states involved in the lawsuit, many of them have a lot to lose economically, not only in terms of the loss of grant money to law enforcement agencies, but also the loss of jobs from military construction projects that might be closed because the Trump administration shifts money from construction to building the wall.
Is this one of those cases where it's going to go through the courts and then we'll have this sort of non-ruling where it says the states don't really have standing, so we're not going to rule on the merits of the case? Wisconsin, I don't think, has a lot in the game on this one. Are there enough states with that impact that there's going to be standing?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, yeah, it's certainly true that Wisconsin doesn't necessarily see the level of economic harm that, say, California or Colorado or the state of Virginia are going to suffer. And I would expect that lower federal judges would let the case proceed on standing grounds, mainly because of the economics involved. The Supreme Court, of course, is unpredictable, but this is exactly the kind of constitutional dispute that the Supreme Court tends to think that it should resolve. Because if it's not resolved at some point, we have a constitutional impasse that just is not good for our system of government.
Let's get to the core of the argument about whether or not we are in a state of emergency at the border. Supporters of that idea of the president's declaration say, yeah, we do have this pretty big number, a historically large number of people coming and trying to cross the border at points of entry, not at points of entry. Critics say, wait a minute, the president and Republicans controlled Congress and the White House for 2 years, didn't do anything. That's kind of a slow burn emergency, if anything. What do you think about the idea of this being a national emergency?
Well, yeah, we're always going to argue over the objective basis for Trump's declaration of the emergency. And certainly there's no question that border crossings are high, but others would argue that they are relatively low compared to what we've seen, say, 20 years prior. I would argue that the objective basis for Trump's declaration is probably going to fall by the wayside as we continue to argue over the separation of powers. And as litigation proceeds through the federal court system, the separation of powers issues are going to become much, much more focused, and the objective data focus of Trump's declaration is probably going to matter less and less as we go on.
And with the issue of separation of powers, has the president of the United States, so whichever president that might be, gotten more power over time? Has Congress ceded too much authority to the executive branch?
Oh, absolutely no question about that. And it's not just Congress ceding authority. It's the U.S. Supreme Court sort of reallocating authority to the executive branch, too. And certainly, since World War II, the power of the executive branch has grown almost exponentially. And, you know, it doesn't matter if the White House has transitioned from a Republican to a Democrat or Democrat to Republican. No incoming president is going to hand over a White House that has less power than when he came in. So it's just sort of the nature of the office where the power tends to grow. And it's also Congress and the judicial branch have been relatively reluctant to try to rein the president in.
Is that ever going to happen, reining a president in, given that there's going to be a substantial portion of Congress in the same party as the president?
Well, right. That's always a fair question. I actually would expect this case to be one of those sort of watershed constitutional disputes where the Supreme Court will most likely rein in the executive branch. But the impact that that has long term, you know, that's really unpredictable.
Right. And with the U.S. Supreme Court, as I understand it, there seems to be a reluctance to make a sharp turn. They might make a limited limit on the president, not a big limit.
Yeah, that's true. And historically, the Supreme Court would rather Congress and the president fight these issues out themselves, you know, because they are the two elected branches of government, and in that sense, they are the most accountable. So historically, the justices on the Supreme Court have often said, you know, you two branches go resolve this on your own. We'll sort of police the margins of the dispute, but this is really something for you all to work out.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That's John Blakeman, professor and department chair of the UW-Stevens Point Department of Political Science. He was with us to talk about a vote in the U.S. Senate today to terminate President Trump's declaration of a national emergency for border wall funding. That vote succeeded. The president on Twitter quickly threatened to veto that effort by Congress now. On top of that, Wisconsin, as of yesterday, has joined a multi-state lawsuit challenging the president's emergency declaration. By the way, Senator Ron Johnson voted on the side of the president on this one. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted with all the other Democrats against the president and his emergency declaration.